This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover with John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, John Chuckery Show, coming to you live on this Tuesday evening, 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. This year night, look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons Flyover. We'll talk to our buddy Eric Edholm coming up at 8:20 this evening. So we've got a little bit of a scheduling change. So I guess top of the hour, Oren, we go right into the Frisco Bowl. So we'll go into the Frisco Bowl. That's Marshall and UTSA coming up at the top of the next hour. So I was untruthful. I did not know that. I did not realize that we were having the Frisco Bowl. So that's my bad. So I'll take the blame for all of that. Pro Football Focus grades from the game against the Panthers. Here's your top five offensive grades. Jonnu Smith was an 89.4. Kyle Pitts a 74.2. Tyler Algier a 71.5. Kadarius Hodge a 67.9. And Drake London and Tucker Fisk at 66.9. Can I ask you a question, Oren? Has Jonnu Smith had a better year than Kyle Pitts?
Absolutely, he has.
Okay.
For what you got value-wise from him and production-wise, too, yeah, absolutely.
If I said to you, if we had Jonnu Smith and Mykole Pruitt as our two main tight ends, would you be happy with that?
Well, that meant that we probably didn't take Kyle Pitts number four overall, and then maybe we took, like, somebody else there, so... I guess, yes, maybe, possibly, yes.
Could you live with Jonnu Smith and Mykole Pruitt being your two? And again, you can mix in Tucker Fisk or whatever, but I'm talking about your two main pass catching tight ends, Mykole Pruitt and Jonnu Smith. Would you be satisfied with that?
Yeah, I would be satisfied with that.
I would too. I would too. Like, I think both of those guys have had good years. I think Jonnu Smith's had a very good year for this team this year. So anyway, top five defensive grades. Calais Campbell, an 83. Taquan Graham, who got his first sack of his career, 79.2. DeMarco Helms, who continues. So basically, we've benched Richie Grant, huh? How's that draft worked out for the Falcons? Kyle Pitts, number one, and Richie Grant, number two. How's that draft worked out? Anyway, Lorenzo Carter, 74.3. A.J. Terrell, a 71.6. Then some of your notables. Storm Norton, 66.7. Desmond was a 44.6. Bijan was a 38. Keith Smith was a 37. Jesse Bates, the third, at 63.3. Richie Grant at a 48.3, Jeff Okuda at a 40.6, and Albert Huggins at a 30.3. Whew. That's some rough grades.
A lot of fails in there, yes.
Yeah, a lot of F grades in there. Now, the Falcons did make a move today. They released defensive lineman Travis Bell, who, by the way, is what? He's the first player in the NFL from Kennesaw State, right? First guy to be on an active roster and also be a guy that played in a regular season NFL game from Kennesaw State. So kudos to Kennesaw State. Obviously, I mean, listen, Coach Bohannon done a magnificent job there, but that's good. But again, look, I mean, these kinds of moves, you know, unless you just show out, you know, nothing really kind of happens. But again, congratulations to Travis Bell. Look, again, he got a chance to play in an NFL game, so good for him out of Kennesaw State. All right, let's get to some audio. Let's hear from the head coach talking yesterday to the media. Here's what he had to say about dealing with the calls for his job.
That's what you sign up for, right? I mean, that's, and I don't mean that to try to sound like bravado, but you know, said you want these jobs, and which you deal with the consequences. That's what you want. You want to be judged, and don't lose sight of that. You're in the most competitive league, and that's a reality when you're not going the way that you don't get the results you want right now. So that's goes with the job.
Yeah, but you know how you don't have to worry about that stuff? You win. Like, again, and I know it's easier said than done, but win. Beat a 1-12 team. Beat the Arizona Cardinals, who were dreadful, who had one win at that point. Beat those teams. And we're talking about a different story. Yeah, there's still issues, play calling, this and but again, everybody, the entire world is now on Arthur Smith being fired. Nobody signs up for that. Nobody signs up for, hey, man, I've got everybody on my side to fire me. Nobody signs up for that. Here's Arthur on what this team hasn't done well as well as he thought they would.
Been a couple factors here or there. I mean, you're talking about a fine line of a couple games not closing out. A couple things that, you know, were, you know, we cost ourselves some points where, you know, things that you have a chance to get in a rhythm or create momentum and, you know, made it harder on ourselves, and which allowed some teams to hang around and make the situation in the game be different. So, yeah, I mean, those are things. But, again, that's kind of like the question Jeff asked. If you believe in what you're doing, like I said, I mean, you look at the history of a lot of businesses, a lot of industries, and you just hope you know, it's got to happen sooner than later. And you hope that what you're doing, you see it, but you got to be on the other side of that results. You're not as far away as you think.
Well, look, the NFL is a game that's about 5 or 6 plays. And you don't have these huge momentum swings. You get these things that 5 or 6 plays decide the outcome of a game. And you have to tighten those things up. I don't care what position it comes from. You have to tighten those things up. So, I'm at a loss on this. Here's Arthur Smith, if he thinks he's failing as a head coach.
Look, Jeff, I mean, I think anytime you're not where you want to be, I don't think you, sometimes you look at failure, and certainly you can say it's catastrophic, or it can teach you a valuable lesson. You know, sometimes what is the fine line? I mean, things happen sometimes where you feel like you're close and you're not getting the results you want, and there's a couple things you need to tweak, and then you have that breakthrough. You know, it'd be one thing if we were getting blown out or just hopeless. It's frustrating when you've been in some of these close games and you haven't gotten it done for a variety of reasons. But if you look at those setbacks and as a moment that as long as you still got life, you can improve. I mean, that could be your greatest success can come after that. And that's what if that's what you honestly believe, or you become a victim and look to blame others. So our reality is, right, it's what we are, 6-8. We're going to keep fighting, and we got to go win this game. Let's see what happens.
Okay. This will tell me more about Arthur Smith than anything else as far as I think Arthur Smith is going to be back next year, barring a three-game collapse of losses at the end of the year. They lose like five in a row, he's gone, okay? But if he wins one of the – I do believe Arthur Blank is looking for every reason to keep him around, okay? Let's say he's back next year. Can he self-analyze and self-assess him? Even Dan Quinn, remember, had to give up the play calling and the defensive control at one point, right? Even Dan in his dying days had to give up what he does best. And that's running the defense. Had to turn it over to other people. Arthur might be your head coach, but can he bring in a quarterback coach or a play caller or an OC that actually does something? Can he self-assess himself enough to change that part? Because that will tell you a lot. If he goes in status quo next year, they're not going to win enough games. All right, here's his message for the fans.
Sure. And I mean, I understand. I mean, that's a responsibility. That's my job, right? And that's never lost on me. When you take these jobs, I mean, you're fortunate as hell. You know, you get those. It's really lucky to get to do what you love to do. And you care deeply about, you know, the organization, not just about you. It's about the players. It's about everybody that works here. And it is about the fans, because otherwise you wouldn't have this job. And certainly we're not where we want to be, and we've lost some close games. But it's not over, and we will die trying to make sure we get this right.
Well, I get all that. That still is not going to make the fans feel any better, folks. I get that, and I understand that part of it, too. It's just words at this point, right? I mean, Dan had a lot of rah-rah speeches and different things like that, but eventually the message fell flat. This message feels like it's falling flat. Well, you know, I know my responsibility. That message is flat. Go out and win. All right, let's get to Arthur Blank talking to Jeff Hullinger. So here's what Arthur had to say about Coach Arthur Smith.
So in 2024, is Arthur Smith going to be your head football coach for your team?
Well, when we're committed to Coach Smith. We're going to play these last three games. We play him to win them, and we'll let the season play out and go from there. Obviously, this has not been the kind of year we expected, and you would hear that first from Coach Smith. You'd hear it from our fans, you'd hear it from our players. So we understand that. We understand the challenges. So at the end of the year, we'll, you know, assess where we are and go from there.
Does he have to get to the playoffs to come back?
No, I don't. I mean, that was never really a requirement. The requirement was that we have a more competitive team this year, a winning team this year. And I think that, you know, through this part of the season, it's been mixed, quite honestly. And that's what I think. It's what the coach would say, you know, and Arthur is a very, very honest, very, he looks at himself very critically. So he's not, you know, he comes from a beautiful family that, you know, has great values. And he reflects those values in his leadership as best
he
can.
Okay, we got it. Here's the thing. Orrin, this is my only issue with the way that question started off, where Jeff asks him, okay, is Arthur Smith going to be the head coach for your football team in 2024? If you know Arthur Blank at all, have any inkling about Arthur Blank, he is not going to give you a definitive yes, and he's not going to give you a definitive no. He's not going to answer that question straight on, head on, the way that fans want him to answer it. That will always be his default answer. Well, we'll analyze the end of the year, and it hasn't gone the way. And I understand that, and I'm okay with that. But when you ask that question, you better know going into it, you are not going to get a definitive yes or no. That's never going to happen. You may want it, but it's never going to happen. All right, let me hear Arthur real quickly on Desmond Ridder.
The quarterback situation's been tough this year.
It has been tough, yeah. We certainly, you know, had high hopes for Desmond Ridder, and He's done a lot of good things for us this year, but, you know, hasn't, he would be the first to tell you, hasn't been the kind of consistent performer that, you know, we'd like him to be. And in this business, the NFL business or the business of college ball, you have turnovers. It's a very tough thing to overcome.
And so, it's a public business. Yeah. You got to please the fans.
Yeah. Well, you got to please the fans, but it is about pleasing the fans, but it's about really putting a product on the field that you know represents the best of our roster, the best of what we can put together. And in my case, you know, it's having the best people that we can who are making the critical decisions. I don't want to be in a position ever of having to pick players. I mean, I've never done that. I wouldn't know how to do it. I'm like a fan in that regard. I have opinions, but, you know, so does Jeff and so does everybody else in Atlanta. But I think it's really making sure we have the right people, making sure they're fully empowered, make sure they have all the resources, and that they're making the decisions that we should make to put a winning product on the field, and that's their job.
Okay, I will say, and I said this earlier in the show, this will tell me everything I need to know about Terry Fontenot. Because if he doesn't take a quarterback in the first round of this draft, then he's the next one that's got to be questioned about whether or not he should stay or go. It's really simple. Again, you can't worry about best athlete, best fit, best this, best. You have to have a quarterback. You have to have a quarterback to be successful in the NFL. There's no getting around. Unless you're historically good at other places, you have to have a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback right now that can be consistent enough without mucking it up. Eric Edholm is going to join us from NFL Network. Chuck Renneke Studios, Sports Radio After the Game, Odyssey.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at it. Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios with you on this Tuesday evening. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, listen, it's dreadful times for the Atlanta Falcons, and I know a lot of emotional reaction about what will happen, what could happen, what might happen, what may not even happen.
C'est la vie, John. C'est la vie.
Yeah. I mean, the great Robbie Neville bringing us back. So let's head out to the WaitForIt.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy who is in tune with the NFL, covers the NFL, NFL draft especially, our buddy Eric Edholm. Check him out. Check out his work at NFL.com, and you can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Eric_Edholm. Eric, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show in Atlanta. It's not really good times right now as a Falcons fan. It's kind of rough here.
I understand why. I really do. You know, I mean, it hurts more, obviously, because of the division they're in, right? I mean, if you're having a 6-8 season, things aren't going your way. It's probably not a pleasant experience anyway, but you know, there were some expectations coming into the season, maybe quiet ones, but I think, you know, cautiously optimistic people said, like myself, I mean, I thought they could maybe win that division. I thought they and the Saints were kind of the two best position teams, and maybe the Bucs too. But it's kind of gotten away from them, you know, like some of these fourth quarters have. I mean, that's just the way to spin it. I mean, there was that brief little hope, win over the Saints. The Jets thing wasn't pretty, and it's just kind of tumbled from there recently.
Well, you know, Eric, I have consistently said, I mean, the biggest disappointment for me this year, when you look at the caliber of teams that they've played, when you look at the caliber of quarterbacks, whether it's new start guys
right,
coming back from injury, you look at the head coaches. I mean, you look at you. You will never get a more advantageous schedule ever, probably as a franchise, than what the Falcons have had this year, and they have not been able to capitalize on a single solitary bit of it.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. You know, and you know, I think it puts a little bit of a, you know, perspective on what the defense has done, because I mean, statistically, I mean, again, I haven't really looked in the last 10 minutes or anything, but you know, they've been in that top 10 or 12 range in a lot of defensive categories for big chunks of the year. But then obviously in some key games where you see higher point totals, you know, more drives late in the game, given up, things like that. And then put the perspective you just did on it. I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was quite as bad until I sort of rolled through the teams that you mentioned. And so, yeah, it's true. And when you have those things roll in your favor, you never apologize for them. You have to take advantage of them, right?
You
say, let's go. This is our, I mean, there were how many invitations throughout the season, right? I mean, every Bucks loss, every Saints loss,
yep,
it was just like somebody step up in this division. And right now it seems like it's Tampa.
Well, Eric, as I always say, there are no BCS computers or Harris polls in or playoff committees in the NFL. Like, just win and it doesn't matter. But so let me ask you about something involved with the draft. Because what I said tonight earlier in the show, at this point, I don't want to hear best available. I don't want to hear about best fit or this, that. You have to, wherever you draft, whether you win the division and you're 19-20 or whether you're in the top 10, you know, out of the playoffs, you have to draft a first-round quarterback. And when I look at this draft, I think there are a sprinkling of guys, but it feels like, and I want to get your first blush on this, it feels like you have a group of guys that could be more toward the top in Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels, and then you have that next group where there's going to be a gap of guys in between, and then maybe late teens, 20s, where you get into the Bo Nix and the Michael Penix and guys like that. Are you looking at it that way? Like, in your early blush analysis, is it kind of shaping up that way, or do you see a lot of those guys more together?
Yeah, so I think, you know, and I have to be careful because I'm not allowed to officially project underclassmen. Wink, wink. I think we all kind of know, anybody who's spent, you know, more than 2 minutes looking at the draft so far, you know, you kind of have an idea who's projected to be 1, 2, 2, 1. You get the idea. I think you're right on about Daniels right now being in that third spot, but I would give him a fighter's chance to infiltrate the top of the draft. So that really presents some interesting scenarios, obviously. And you know, kind of gives us a repeat of last year a little bit. I mean, I think a step up, you know, the volume cranked up to 11 on this group compared to last year, but still some questions about all these guys. Not perfect, you know, specimens or anything that we're looking at as generational, but potentially generational with Caleb and May. And certainly Daniel's had one of the best seasons we've seen in forever. So, I mean, I think that's right. I would say, I don't know that I'm hearing at least what I had heard up until a certain point. I haven't made a lot of calls recently, but I don't think Michael Penix is the first-round pick. And you could talk me into Bo Nix in that kind of Will Levis range a little bit. But we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, we don't know who's going to the Senior Bowl and whatnot, and we don't know, you know, who all's in the draft pool from the quarterback. We know Carson Beck's coming back, so yeah, it's an interesting group. It really is. We knew it'd be deeper than last year, and I think it is. But you know, it's got some similar qualities to it. Maybe just a tiny bit better overall.
And Eric, has maybe some of that depth been hurt because we do know Carson Beck is coming back. Riley Leonard is coming back. I mean, so
yeah,
there are some guys that are, you know, coming back to college, even if it's, you know, again, going Riley Leonard going to Notre Dame or whatever. But, you know, still, those are some guys that would be in the mix as far as, you know, your top 10, 12 quarterbacks and things like that. So is it, you know, first blush, is it kind of more top heavy and we're losing some of that depth?
Top heavy and bottom heavy, I think, is how I would describe it. Meaning, mm-hmm. I think there are draftable quarterbacks who are not players that you're realistically thinking about in before day three, but they have some traits, or they, you know, they've got something interesting about them. So, you know, yeah, I think we never really seem to get a ton of those second and third rounders. Obviously Ritter in that class was an unusual one. That was probably the most we'd had in that range in a long time. So it ends up being kind of first round or, you know, really high second, and then a little bit of a gap until we get to the next batch. And I think that's probably how it's going to be, more of the end of the draft kind of quarterbacks.
Are you of my thinking that I don't know how you can't, if you're the Falcons, I don't know how you can't draft a quarterback in the first round. Like, I understand GMs talk about best available and all.
Yeah.
When you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, you have, and again, the reality is they draft a quarterback in the first round, it won't work out. I can live with that because, again, that's the league. But you have to throw your darts at those guys, right? I mean, you have to be willing to risk your draft capital to find one of those guys. Again, nobody knew that Pat Mahomes was going to be a multi-time, three-time Super Bowl champion when they drafted him, but it came out that way. And I'm not saying, I'm not comparing everybody, but again, you don't find those guys usually in the fourth, fifth round. You have to draft them in the first round.
Right. Or what I think might be an option for a team like the Falcons is to kick the tires on a Justin Fields trade. You know, I mean, I don't know that the Bears are going to be exceptionally greedy with that. I mean, if they end up moving him, this is all kind of just hypothetical, mm-hmm. right? Let's say they've seen Fields' peak, and it's pretty good. I mean, like, you know, it's not like Justin Fields hasn't played some good football the last 2 years. He really has, but you know, there's always this sense in Chicago of, like, I think they had their sights set super high. Like, this is going to be our nuclear weapon like everyone else has. And, you know, it's not quite that. So, obviously, we know, you know, the connections to the area are one thing. But I think he would also mesh really well with the, you know, the offensive talent the Falcons have put together. That, you know, that would be a fun offense to see in the right hands. And, you know, I think there's obviously something to work with there. I really do. I mean, it's crazy they haven't been able to score more, right? And when you step back and think about it, you built that offensive line, you paid some guys, you have those first-round pick skill guys. I mean, it's got to come together better
next year. You got to have that trigger man. I mean, you got to have that trigger man, Eric. I mean, you got to be able to have that trigger guy, you know, to have all those weapons. So Eric Edholm covers the NFL and NFL draft. Check out all of his work at NFL.com. Follow him on his personal Twitter page, @Eric_Edholm. He joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. As always, Eric, appreciate a few minutes on the show, buddy. Thanks for your time. We will chat again very soon here.
Have a great night. Have a great holiday.
You got it. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it, buddy. When we get back, we're going to do things a little bit different. We're going to hear from Scott Baer coming back. We're going to play that interview. And because we're getting out of here, top of the hour, we got the Frisco Bowl. By the way, did you see Doritos has a vodka out now? A Doritos-flavored vodka?
Good for them, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Speaking of throwing up, I'll drink some of that if the Falcons don't draft quarterback at number one.
There you go. Make yourself puke.
Yes. All right, Chuck Rinne, Kia Studio, Sports Radio, the Game, Odyssey.com now. Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game. It is John Chuckery Show, live on this Tuesday evening with you. Coming off of, I think it's probably the most disappointing loss of the season, and I don't really think that there's a whole lot of doubt. Obviously, a very ugly game, both on the field and weather and everything else that surrounded it, but we live to fight another day. Let's head out to the WaitForIt.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Scott Baer. He's the digital managing editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. You can follow Scott on his personal Twitter page, @ScottBaerNFL. And Scott, you know, listen, I know a lot of folks are really frustrated. They reach out to me on Twitter. I know everybody, you know, hears it and things like that. But still three games to go, and I don't think really anything is going to change too drastically, the quarterback aside, but nothing I don't think is going to happen over these next 3 weeks. They'll look at everything and analyze at the end of the season, and that maybe is when changes happen, but I don't think anything for now drastic is going to happen.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you there. I don't think that the Falcons are going to make any rash choices. They're going to take some time, evaluate their situation coming out of these three games. Obviously, it's just so crazy, this eight-day swing, that they go into that Tampa Bay game trying to create separation in the NFC South, and they were talking about controlling their own destiny. And 8 games later, they're talking about being behind the pace in the NFC South and behind in the primary tiebreakers should everything get even at the end of the year. I think their playoff percentage, according to the New York Times playoff simulator, is about 11%. That's a lot of doom and gloom, and I think it's fair for fans to be frustrated. Arthur Smith said it's fair for fans to be frustrated. I'm frustrated. It's below expectation. But the fact of the matter is that we're at this stage in the year, and it has not turned out ultimately the way the Falcons wanted it to. I do not think we see any sort of in-season firing, anything like that. There's only 3 games left. Play out the string. See what happens.
You know, Scott, the thing that frustrates me the most about this season is everything really set up. And when I say that, the NFC South right now has the lowest winning percentage as a division in the history of the NFL. So since divisional play has taken place in the NFL, the NFC South right now in 2023 has the lowest winning percentage in NFL history. And they have played a bunch of, you know, first-time starting quarterbacks, guys that don't have a lot of experience, backup quarterbacks. They've played a lot of bad football teams. What frustrates me the most is they have not been able to take advantage of an ideal situation. Because, again, we can talk about winning the division. If you win the division, no matter how bad you are, you play a first-place schedule last year or next year. Because, again, that's how the pecking order of divisional play works. And everything's set up schedule-wise for the Falcons, and yet they have not been able to take advantage of any of it.
Yeah, I have this theory that if you can take care of business against the weaker teams and then go .500 against the like better squads, you're going to end up in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. .500 against good teams, clean house against teams that you should beat, right? And you look at their strength of schedule, both before the season and now that the season has gone on, they've faced a bunch of teams that look beatable on paper, that look that teams that have struggled. And when you look back at the track record, you are what your record says that you are. But I think that there's an additional level of context that I'm glad that you brought up, is that there's a loss to the 3-win Cardinals. There's a loss to the 2-win Panthers. There's a loss to the 4-win. The wheels have completely come off Washington Commanders. And those, and you mentioned those quarterbacks. They faced 4 quarterbacks making their NFL debut or their first start with the team that season.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios with you on this Tuesday evening. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, listen, it's dreadful times for the Atlanta Falcons, and I know a lot of emotional reaction about what will happen, what could happen, what might happen, what may not even happen.
C'est la vie, John. C'est la vie.
Yeah. I mean, the great Robbie Neville bringing us back. So let's head out to the WaitForIt.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy who is in tune with the NFL, covers the NFL, NFL draft especially, our buddy Eric Edholm. Check him out, check out his work at NFL.com, and you can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Eric_Edholm. Eric, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show in Atlanta. It's not really good times right now as a Falcons fan. It's kind of rough here.
I understand why. I really do. You know, I mean, it hurts more, obviously, because of the division they're in, right? I mean, if you're having a 6-8 season, things aren't going your way. It's probably not a pleasant experience anyway. But, you know, there were some expectations coming into the season, maybe quiet ones. But I think, you know, cautiously optimistic people said, like myself, I mean, I thought they could maybe win that division. I thought they and the Saints were kind of the two best position teams, and maybe the Bucks too. But it's kind of gotten away from them, you know, like some of these fourth quarters have. I mean, that's just the way to spin it. I mean, there was that brief little hope
win over the Saints. The Jets thing wasn't pretty, and it's just kind of tumbled from there recently.
Well, you know, Eric, I have consistently said, I mean, the biggest disappointment for me this year, when you look at the caliber of teams that they've played, when you look at the caliber of quarterbacks, whether it's new start guys, guys
right.
coming back from injury, you look at the head coaches. I mean, you look at you. You will never get a more advantageous schedule ever, probably as a franchise, than what the Falcons have had this year, and they have not been able to capitalize on a single solitary bit of it.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. You know, and you know, I think it puts a little bit of a, you know, perspective on what the defense has done, because, I mean, statistically, I mean, again, I haven't really looked in the last 10 minutes or anything, but, you know, they've been in that top 10 or 12 range in a lot of defensive categories mm-hmm. for big chunks of the year. But then obviously in some key games where you see higher point totals, you know, more drives late in the game given up, things like that, and then put the perspective you just did on. And I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was quite as bad until I sort of rolled through the teams that you mentioned. And so, yeah, it's true. And when you have those things roll in your favor, you never apologize for them. You have to take advantage of
right,
them, right?
Right?
You say, let's go. This is our, I mean, there were how many invitations throughout the season, right? I mean, every Bucks loss, every Saints loss,
yep.
it was just like somebody step up in this division. And right now it seems like it's Tampa.
Well, Eric, as I always say, there are no BCS computers or Harris polls in or playoff
right.
committees in the NFL. Like, just win and it doesn't matter. But so let me ask you about something involved with the draft. Because what I said tonight earlier in the show, at this point, I don't want to hear best available. I don't want to hear about best fit or this, that. You have to, wherever you draft, whether you win the division and you're 19-20 or whether you're in the top 10, you know, out of the playoffs, you have to draft a first-round quarterback. And when I look at this draft, I think there are a sprinkling of guys, but it feels like, and I want to get your first blush on this, it feels like you have a group of guys that could be more toward the top in Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels, and then you
mm-hmm.
have that next group where there's going to be a gap of guys in between, and then maybe late teens, 20s, where you get into the Bo Nix and the Michael Penix and guys like that. Are you looking at it that way? Like, in your early blush analysis, is it kind of shaping up that way, or do you see a lot of those guys more together?
Yeah, so I think, you know, and I have to be careful because I'm not allowed to officially project underclassmen. Wink, wink. I think we
right.
all kind of know anybody who's spent, you know, more than 2 minutes looking at the draft so far. You know, you kind of have an idea who's projected to be 1-2-2-1. You get the idea. I think you're right on about Daniels right now being in that third spot, but I would give him a fighter's chance to infiltrate the top of the draft. So that really presents some interesting scenarios, obviously, and you know, kind of gives us a repeat of last year a little bit. I mean, I think a step up, you know, the volume cranked up to 11 on this group compared to last year, but still some questions about all these guys, not perfect, you know, specimens or anything that we're looking at as generational, but potentially generational with Caleb and May. And certainly Daniels had one of the best seasons we've seen in forever. So, I mean, I think that's right. I would say, I don't know that I'm hearing at least what I had heard up until a certain point. I haven't made a lot of calls recently, but I don't think Michael Penix is the first-round pick. And you could talk me into Bo Nix in that kind of Will Levis range a little bit. But we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, we don't know who's going to the Senior Bowl and whatnot, and we don't know, you know, who all's in the draft pool from the quarterback. We know Carson Beck's coming back, so – yeah, it's an interesting group. It really is. We knew it would be deeper than last year, and I think it is. But, you know, it's got some similar qualities to it, maybe just a tiny bit better overall.
And Eric, has maybe some of that depth been hurt? Because we do know Carson Beck is coming back. Riley Leonard is coming back. I mean, so
yeah.
there are some guys that are, you know, coming back to college, even if it's, you know, again, going Riley Leonard going to Notre Dame or whatever. But, you know, still, those are some guys that would be in the mix as far as, you know, your top 10, 12 quarterbacks and things like that. So is it, you know, first blush, is it kind of more top heavy and we're losing some of that depth?
Top heavy and bottom heavy, I think is how I would describe it. Meaning, I think there are draftable quarterbacks who are not players that you're realistically thinking about in, before day three, but they have some traits or they, you know, they've got something interesting about them. So, you know, yeah, I think the we never really seem to get a ton of those second and third rounders. Obviously, Ridder in that class was an unusual one. That was probably the most we'd had in that range in a long time. So it ends up being kind of first round or, you know, really high second and then a little bit of a gap until we get to the next batch. And I think that's probably how it's going to be more of the end of the draft kind of quarterbacks.
Are you of my thinking that I don't know how you can't, if you're the Falcons, I don't know how you can't draft a quarterback in the first round. Like, I understand GMs talk about best available and all.
Yeah.
When you don't have a quarterback in the NFL, you have, and again, the reality is they draft a quarterback in the first round, it won't work out. I can live with that because, again, that's the league. But you have to throw your darts at those guys, right? I mean, you have to be willing to risk your draft capital to find one of those guys. Again, nobody knew that Pat Mahomes was going to be a multi-time, three-time Super Bowl champion when they drafted him, but it came out that way. And I'm not saying, I'm not comparing everybody, but again, you don't find those guys usually in the fourth, fifth round. You have to draft them in the first round.
Right, or what I think might be an option for a team like the Falcons is to kick the tires on a Justin Fields trade. You know, I mean, I don't know that the Bears are going to be exceptionally greedy with that. I mean, if they end up moving him, this is all kind of just hypothetical, right? Let's say they've seen Fields' peak, and it's pretty good. I mean, like, you know, it's not like Justin Fields hasn't played some good football the last 2 years. He really has, but you know, there's always this sense in Chicago of, like, I think they had their sights set super high. Like, this is going to be our nuclear weapon like everyone else has. And, you know, it's not quite that. So, obviously, we know, you know, the connections to the area are one thing. But I think he would also mesh really well with the, you know, the offensive talent the Falcons have put together. That, you know, that would be a fun offense to see in the right hands. And you know, I think there's obviously something to work with there. I really do. I mean, it's crazy they haven't been able to score more, right? And when you step back and think about it, you built that offensive line, you paid some guys, you have those first-round pick skill guys. I mean, it's got to come together better next year.
You got to have that trigger, man. I mean, you got to have that trigger, man, Eric. I mean, you got to be able to have that trigger guy, you know, to have all those weapons. So, Eric Edholm covers the NFL and NFL draft. Check out all of his work at NFL.com. Follow him on his personal Twitter page, @Eric_Edholm. He joined me here on the WaitFor.com hotline. As always, Eric, appreciate a few minutes on the show, buddy. Thanks for your time. We will chat again very soon here.
Have a great night. Have a great holiday.
You got it. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it, buddy. When we get back, we're going to do things a little bit different. We're going to hear from Scott Baer coming back. We're going to play that interview. And because we're getting out of here, top of the hour, we got the Frisco Bowl. By the way, did you see Doritos has a vodka out now? A Doritos-flavored vodka?
Good for them, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Speaking of throwing up, I'll drink some of that if the Falcons don't draft quarterback at number one.
There you go. Make yourself puke.
Yes. All right, Chuck Rinne, Key Studio, Sports Radio, the Game, Odyssey.com now. Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game. It is John Chuck Rinne Show, live on this Tuesday evening with you. Coming off of, I think it's probably the most disappointing loss of the season, and I don't really think that there's a whole lot of doubt. Obviously, a very ugly game, both on the field and weather and everything else that surrounded it, but we live to fight another day. Let's head out to the WaitForIt.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Scott Baer. He's the digital managing editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. You can follow Scott on his personal Twitter page, @ScottBaerNFL. And Scott, you know, listen, I know a lot of folks are really frustrated. They reach out to me on Twitter. I know everybody, you know, hears it and things like that. But still three games to go, and I don't think really anything is going to change too drastically, the quarterback aside, but nothing I don't think is going to happen over these next 3 weeks. They'll look at everything and analyze at the end of the season, and that maybe is when changes happen, but I don't think anything for now drastic is going to happen.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you there. I don't think that the Falcons are going to make any rash choices. They're going to take some time, evaluate their situation coming out of these three games. Obviously, it's just so crazy, this eight-day swing, that they go into that Tampa Bay game trying to create separation in the NFC South, and they were talking about controlling their own destiny. And 8 games later, they're talking about being behind the pace in the NFC South and behind in the primary tiebreakers should everything get even at the end of the year. I think their playoff percentage, according to the New York Times playoff simulator, is about 11%. That's a lot of doom and gloom, and I think it's fair for fans to be frustrated. Arthur Smith said it's fair for fans to be frustrated. I'm frustrated. It's below expectation. But the fact of the matter is that we're at this stage in the year, and it has not turned out ultimately the way the Falcons wanted it to. I do not think we see any sort of in-season firing, anything like that. There's only 3 games left. Play out the string. See what happens.
You know, Scott, the thing that frustrates me the most about this season is everything really set up. And when I say that, the NFC South right now has the lowest winning percentage as a division in the history of the NFL. So since divisional play has taken place in the NFL, the NFC South right now in 2023 has the lowest winning percentage in NFL history. And they have played a bunch of, you know, first-time starting quarterbacks, guys that don't have a lot of experience, backup quarterbacks. They've played a lot of bad football teams. What frustrates me the most is they have not been able to take advantage of an ideal situation. Because, again, we can talk about winning the division. If you win the division, no matter how bad you are, you play a first-place schedule last year or next year. Because, again, that's how the pecking order of divisional play works. And everything's set up schedule-wise for the Falcons, and yet they have not been able to take advantage of any of it.
Yeah, I have this theory that if you can take care of business against the weaker teams and then go 500 against the like better squads, you're going to end up in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. 500 against good teams, clean house against teams that you should beat, right? And you look at their strength of schedule, both before the season and now that the season has gone on, they've faced a bunch of teams that look beatable on paper, that teams that have struggled. And when you look back at the track record, you are what your record says that you are. But I think that there's an additional level of context that I'm glad that you brought up, is that there's a loss to the 3-win Cardinals. There's a loss to the 2-win Panthers. There's a loss to the 4-win, the wheels have completely come off, Washington Commanders. And those, and you mentioned those quarterbacks. They faced 4 quarterbacks making their NFL debut or their first start with the team that season. Kyler Murray, Will Levis, Dobbs, and of course Bryce Young at the start of the season. And ultimately, those are opportunities that you look at and you feel like you've got to take advantage of those. And I think that they've been in position to take advantage of those, but there's so many buzzwords now, critical mistakes, these types of things where it's not whether they're going to make the critical mistakes or not, it's whether they can overcome them, right? And they haven't overcome them enough, even against, as you put it, a schedule that was ripe for the picking.
Digital managing editor for the AtlantaFalcons.com, Scott Baer, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Now, I'm going to say it like this. I understand the idea of drafting best player available or different things like that. I get that argument, okay? But I think at this point, no matter where the Falcons end up, whether they end up winning the division and it's somewhere 19, 20, whatever, or if things bottom out and they're in the top 8, 9, 10, 11, whatever, I think you have to go quarterback. And I don't really think that there is much of an option right now. Even if you think Desmond Ridder is the guy, I think you have to pull the string on a first-round quarterback and just roll the dice on it. And listen, more than likely, You're not going to hit on that pick because very rarely do, you know, team, I mean, it's only about 45% success rate in first-round quarterbacks. But this feels like a spot where you have to pull the trigger on a quarterback in the first round.
I think when you look at it, I think it's fair to say that Atlanta needs to be in the quarterback market next year. I think it's hard to assume that you can go in with the same signal callers, both of which are under contract, Desmond and Taylor Heinicke, both of which are under contract, and then just kind of add competition. I think it is time to go out and try to establish that type of first-round talent. I think that's a possibility because if you dip into free agency or trades, sometimes you're dealing with two things. One, the quarterback market ain't going down, mm-hmm. right? And it's not about who's the best quarterback. It's about who's available next. Like, everybody hates Derek Carr's contract. Well, he was the next dude available, right? So that is the trend going upward. So how much money do you want to invest in an older player, or if you trade with someone on their a rookie deal? I get asked about Justin Fields all the time. He's going to go into his third year, meaning you're closer to an extension than you've ever been, right? That math gets a little choppier, and I'm not saying that Justin Fields is the guy. I'm just saying if you were to trade for a guy on his rookie contract, you're already eating into that. So you look to the draft. You look to I'm no draft expert, but from what I've heard and read, sounds like a deep quarterback draft class, and you go out there, and when you talk about first-round quarterbacks, right, there's another element here. Sometimes it's not just sit around and wait at whatever position you're at. It's about, did you fall in love with one? Do you really believe in one, and what kind of capital is it going to take to get it? So free agency-wise, trade-wise, or having to trade up in the draft, getting a quarterback is an expensive proposition, and that's why, even though the percentages, as you brought up, are low, it's something that the Falcons, in my opinion, have to entertain as we move forward.
You know, Scott, even Dan Quinn got to a point where he had to give up defensive play calling and give up running the defense and things like that and turn it over to other people. You know, if Arthur Smith is going to be here next year, do they need to get a quarterback coach or let somebody else call the plays or just something different, a different voice and somebody different that looks at this offense, whether it's from 30,000 feet or 3 feet, but somebody else that looks at this unit and says, I can do something with it?
Yeah, I'm going to say something that I think a lot of your listeners probably won't like. I think Arthur Smith is a really creative offensive mind who understands the flow of a game and can be a pretty good play caller. That's what I think. I can hear the outrage in your phone lines filling up quickly. But I'm going to stick with that. But I will go back to, I think what is a larger point here is that to get another voice in the room is not a bad idea, especially when it comes to maybe somebody from a, you know, kind of passing game specialist or somebody with somebody else to add to this mix. I don't think that can hurt. I feel like as you move forward, right, when you're talking about no matter how this season ends up, unless it ends up with a playoff berth, I think you have to do what the Falcons have been pretty good at. And what Arthur Smith has been really good at is being objective and understanding what's right, what's wrong. Is everything on the table? And everything has to be on the table. Expanding your staff, I don't think Arthur Blank would hide his checkbook if they wanted to go hire another kind of top-level offensive mind. I think adding that to the mix, trying to change some things up, trying to improve some things can only help.
So looking at, you know, moving forward, you know, this is a tough test this weekend. You know, Indy, you know, for all the Gardner Minshew and all this kind of stuff, they've played well. I mean, that division has been, you know, kind of creeping upward as far as how good Jacksonville has played. And, you know, again, I know the loss, you know, on Monday or Sunday night or whatever it was. But again, Jacksonville has played well, you know, of late. Indianapolis has played well, you know, of late. You look at the rest of the way, this is not going to be easy. And I know the idea, yes, it's been bad teams that we're playing, but anytime you go to New Orleans and play, when you're playing the Colts, you know, that's kind of a little bit on the rise. Like, this is not going to be a very easy task to try to find whether it's one, two, or three wins the rest of the way.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult, and I've been slow to acknowledge Indianapolis as a real contender. I just kind of look at the roster, and you've seen Minshew, and I always had an eyebrow raised, like, when's the bottom going to fall out of this little run? But I can't help but acknowledge the fact that they're 8-6, and they're tied for the division lead, and they got a lot to play for. The one thing that I will say is this is a good character group in the locker room. I know fans care about wins and losses and what happens on Sunday, but I think in order to get this thing pointed in the right direction, to go out there and win a game, I think that the leadership is good enough to keep everybody focused and pointing in that direction. But if you go back to the start of the season, maybe you look at that Colts game and you go, W, right? Green pen. Now I think it's pretty much up in the air. And after the last two games, you have to put everything up in the air, because you look at Chicago, they've won some, and they look pretty dynamic at times with what Justin Fields and DJ Moore can do. And as you pointed out, New Orleans may be playing for all the marbles. Maybe the Falcons are playing for all the marbles then. So I do think that in terms of easier stretches of the season, this is not one.
Scott, last question for you. And the other part of this, too, is I know a lot of fans, and I say fans because they have the emotional investment, and I get that. But they look at the move with Heinicke as, you know, tanking or whatever, or, you know, the Falcons are going to throw in the towel. I say this all the time, Scott. If you're a player and you put quit on tape, you won't play in the league anymore. Coaches don't want to see that. Front office personnel don't want to see that. So I expect them, coaching, playing, whatever, they're going to come out and fire their missiles. But they are not going to tank and try to quit. And I know that's a convenient narrative. But if you do those kinds of things, you won't be in the league.
Yeah, go back and watch that Chargers-Raiders tape, right? The Chargers, and I've covered both of those teams, Chargers look like they handed it in, right? That's not what we've ever seen from this Atlanta team. And I look at the move to Heinicke, I think that's a tanking move. I think it's the opposite. I think that Arthur Smith is trying to look at it and figure what gives us the best chance to win. This team needs to win. It needs to win three games. It needs to win the next game, something to get them off of this current trend that they're on, which is a struggling offense and a defense that looks pretty good until the last drive of the game, right? And that somehow those things have to be remedied. And I think that they look at it and they see, look, Desmond Ridder maybe is a better quarterback overall than Heinicke, but when you look at it, you cannot afford he has six red zone turnovers. You cannot afford that. Taylor Heinicke, I think they look at it as gives them the best chance to win, can avoid those critical errors in those moments, and give them a shot. And that's really what they need. I look at this team as still believing that it's alive, still hungry, and trying to fix these things, because ultimately their expectation is as high as anybody's. Calais Campbell, Jesse Bates cannot stop saying, Caden Ellis, we expected to go on runs, and that's not happening. And I think that's disappointing. I think there's a lot of pride in that room. There's a lot of veterans in that room that are not going to lie down for any circumstance, because as you pointed out, it's always about the next contract, right? It's always about your standing and respect in the league, and you need to put your best out there or you'll get exposed, and everybody in the league will notice that. So whether you're pulling for the team, you're pulling for the logo on the side of the helmet, the name on the back of the jersey, you want to show well. I believe the Falcons will do whatever they can to show well. Whether that ends up in a victory, time will tell, but I don't question their effort.
Well, I'll leave you with this, Scott. The only thing I know for sure about the future of the Falcons is that I don't know anything. So we'll see what happens. He is the digital managing editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. Scott Bear joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Check out his personal Twitter page, at Scott Bear NFL. And Scott, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes off. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is John Tucker Show, live on this Tuesday evening with you. Coming off of, I think it's probably the most disappointing loss of the season, and I don't really think that there's a whole lot of doubt. Obviously, a very ugly game, both on the field and weather and everything else that surrounded it. But we live to fight another day. Let's head out to the WaitForIt.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Scott Bear. He's the digital managing editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. You can follow Scott on his personal Twitter page, at Scott Bear NFL. And Scott, you know, listen, I know a lot of folks are really frustrated. They reach out to me on Twitter. I know everybody, you know, hears it and things like that. But still three games to go, and I don't think really anything is going to change too drastically, the quarterback aside. But nothing I don't think is going to happen over these next 3 weeks. They'll look at everything and analyze at the end of the season, and that maybe is when changes happen. But I don't think anything for now drastic is going to happen.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you there. I don't think that the Falcons are going to make any rash choices. They're going to take some time, evaluate their situation coming out of these three games. Obviously, it's just so crazy, this eight-day swing, that they go into that Tampa Bay game trying to create separation in the NFC South, mm-hmm. and they were talking about controlling their own destiny. And 8 games later, they're talking about being behind the pace in the NFC South, and behind in the primary tiebreakers should everything get even at the end of the year. I think their playoff percentage, according to the New York Times playoff simulator, is about 11%. That's a lot of doom and gloom, and I think it's fair for fans to be frustrated. Arthur Smith said it's fair for fans to be frustrated. I'm frustrated. It's below expectation. But the fact of the matter is that we're at this stage in the year, and it has not turned out ultimately the way the Falcons wanted it to. I do not think we see any sort of in-season firing, anything like that. There's only 3 games left. Play out the string, see what happens.
You know, Scott, the thing that frustrates me the most about this season is everything really set up. And when I say that, the NFC South right now has the lowest winning percentage as a division in the history of the NFL. So since divisional play has taken place in the NFL, the NFC South right now in 2023 has the lowest winning percentage in NFL history. And they have played a bunch of, you know, first-time starting quarterbacks, guys that don't have a lot of experience, backup quarterbacks. They've played a lot of bad football teams. What frustrates me the most is they have not been able to take advantage of an ideal situation. Because, again, we can talk about winning the division. If you win the division, no matter how bad you are, you play a first-place schedule last year or next year. Because, again, that's how the pecking order of divisional play works. And everything's set up schedule-wise for the Falcons, and yet they have not been able to take advantage of any of it.
Yeah, I have this theory that if you can take care of business against the weaker teams and then go 500 against the like better squads, you're going to end up in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. 500 against good teams, clean house against teams that you should beat, right? And you look at their strength of schedule, both before the season and now that the season has gone on, they've faced a bunch of teams that look beatable on paper, that teams that have struggled. And when you look back at the track record, you are what your record says that you are. But I think that there's an additional level of context that I'm glad that you brought up, is that there's a loss to the 3-win Cardinals. There's a loss to the 2-win Panthers. There's a loss to the 4-win, the wheels have completely come off, Washington Commanders. And those, and you mentioned those quarterbacks. They faced 4 quarterbacks making their NFL debut or their first start with the team that season. Kyler Murray, Will Levis, Dobbs, and of course Bryce Young at the start of the season. And ultimately, those are opportunities that you look at and you feel like you've got to take advantage of those. And I think that they've been in position to take advantage of those, but there's so many buzzwords now. Critical mistakes, these types of things where it's not whether they're going to make the critical mistakes or not, it's whether they can overcome them. Right, and they haven't overcome them enough, even against, as you put it, a schedule that was ripe for the picking.
Digital managing editor for the AtlantaFalcons.com, Scott Baer, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Now, I'm going to say it like this. I understand the idea of drafting best player available or different things like that. I get that argument, okay? But I think at this point, no matter where the Falcons end up, whether they end up winning the division and it's somewhere 19, 20, whatever, or if things bottom out and they're in the top 8, 9, 10, 11, whatever, I think you have to go quarterback. And I don't really think that there is much of an option right now. even if you think Desmond Ridder is the guy, I think you have to pull the string on a first-round quarterback and just roll the dice on it. And listen, more than likely, you're not going to hit on that pick because very rarely do, you know, team – I mean, it's only about 45% success rate in first-round quarterbacks. But this feels like a spot where you have to pull the trigger on a quarterback in the first round.
I think when you look at it, I think it's fair to say that Atlanta needs to be in the quarterback market next year. I think it's hard to assume that you can go in with the same signal callers, both of which are under contract, Desmond and Taylor Heinicke, both of which are under contract, and then just kind of add competition. I think it is time to go out and try to establish that type of first-round talent. I think that's a possibility because if you dip into free agency or trades, sometimes you're dealing with two things. One, the quarterback market ain't going down, mm-hmm. right? And it's not about who's the best quarterback. It's about who's available next. Like, everybody hates Derek Carr's contract. Well, he was the next dude available, right? So that is the trend going upward. So how much money do you want to invest in an older player, or if you trade with someone on their a rookie deal? I get asked about Justin Fields all the time. He's going to go into his third year, meaning you're closer to an extension than you've ever been, right? That math gets a little choppier, and I'm not saying that Justin Fields is the guy. I'm just saying if you were to trade for a guy on his rookie contract, you're already eating into that. So you look to the draft. You look to I'm no draft expert, but from what I've heard and read, sounds like a deep quarterback draft class, and you go out there, and when you talk about first-round quarterbacks, right, there's another element here. Because sometimes it's not just sit around and wait at whatever position you're at. It's about, did you fall in love with one? Do you really believe in one? And what kind of capital is it going to take to get it? So free agency-wise, trade-wise, or having to trade up in the draft, getting a quarterback is an expensive proposition, and that's why, even though the percentages, as you brought up, are low, it's something that the Falcons, in my opinion, have to entertain as we move forward.
You know, Scott, even Dan Quinn got to a point where he had to give up defensive play calling and give up running the defense and things like that and turn it over to other people. You know, if Arthur Smith is going to be here next year, do they need to get a quarterback coach or let somebody else call the plays or just something different, a different voice and somebody different that looks at this offense, whether it's from 30,000 feet or 3 feet, but somebody else that looks at this unit and says, I can do something with it?
Yeah, I'm going to say something that I think a lot of your listeners probably won't like. I think Arthur Smith is a really creative offensive mind who understands the flow of a game and can be a pretty good play caller. That's what I think. I can hear the outrage in your phone lines filling up quickly. But I'm going to stick with that. But I will go back to, I think what is a larger point here is that to get another voice in the room is not a bad idea, especially when it comes to maybe somebody from a, you know, kind of passing game specialist or somebody with somebody else to add to this mix. I don't think that can hurt. I feel like as you move forward, right, when you're talking about no matter how this season ends up, unless it ends up with a playoff berth, I think you have to do what the Falcons have been pretty good at. And what Arthur Smith has been really good at is being objective and understanding what's right, what's wrong. Is everything on the table? And everything has to be on the table. Expanding your staff, I don't think Arthur Blank would hide his checkbook if they wanted to go hire another kind of top-level offensive mind. I think adding that to the mix, trying to change some things up, trying to improve some things can only help.
So looking at, you know, moving forward, you know, this is a tough test this weekend. You know, Indy, you know, for all the Gardner Minshew and all this kind of stuff, they've played well. I mean, that division has been, you know, kind of creeping upward as far as how good Jacksonville has played. And, you know, again, I know the loss, you know, on Monday or Sunday night or whatever it was. But again, Jacksonville has played well, you know, of late. Indianapolis has played well, you know, of late. You look at the rest of the way, this is not going to be easy. And I know the idea, yes, it's been bad teams that we're playing, but anytime you go to New Orleans and play, when you're playing the Colts, you know, that's kind of a little bit on the rise. Like, this is not going to be a very easy task to try to find whether it's one, two, or three wins the rest of the way.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult, and I've been slow to acknowledge Indianapolis as a real contender. I just kind of look at the roster, and you've seen Minshew, and I always had an eyebrow raised, like, when's the bottom going to fall out of this little run? But I can't help but acknowledge the fact that they're 8-6, and they're tied for the division lead, and they got a lot to play for. The one thing that I will say is this is a good character group in the locker room. I know fans care about wins and losses and what happens on Sunday, but I think in order to get this thing pointed in the right direction, to go out there and win a game, I think that the leadership is good enough to keep everybody focused and pointing in that direction. But if you go back to the start of the season, maybe you look at that Colts game and you go, W, right? Green pen. Now I think it's pretty much up in the air. And after the last two games, you have to put everything up in the air, because you look at Chicago, they've won some, and they look pretty dynamic at times with what Justin Fields and DJ Moore can do. And as you pointed out, New Orleans may be playing for all the marbles. Maybe the Falcons are playing for all the marbles then. So I do think that in terms of easier stretches of the season, this is not one.
Scott, last question for you. And the other part of this, too, is I know a lot of fans, and I say fans because they have the emotional investment, and I get that. But they look at the move with Heinicke as, you know, tanking or whatever, or, you know, the Falcons are going to throw in the towel. I say this all the time, Scott. If you're a player and you put quit on tape, you won't play in the league anymore. Coaches don't want to see that. Front office personnel don't want to see that. So I expect them, coaching, playing, whatever, they're going to come out and fire their missiles. But they are not going to tank and try to quit. And I know that's a convenient narrative. But if you do those kinds of things, you won't be in the league.
Yeah, go back and watch that Chargers-Raiders tape, right? The Chargers, and I've covered both of those teams, Chargers look like they handed it in, right? That's not what we've ever seen from this Atlanta team. And I look at the move to Heinicke, I think that's a tanking move. I think it's the opposite. I think that Arthur Smith is trying to look at it and figure what gives us the best chance to win. This team needs to win. It needs to win three games. It needs to win the next game, something to get them off of this current trend that they're on, which is a struggling offense and a defense that looks pretty good until the last drive of the game, right? And that somehow those things have to be remedied. And I think that they look at it and they see, look, Desmond Ridder maybe is a better quarterback overall than Heinicke, but when you look at it, you cannot afford he has six red zone turnovers. You cannot afford that. Taylor Heinicke, I think they look at it as gives them the best chance to win, can avoid those critical errors in those moments, and give them a shot. And that's really what they need. I look at this team as still believing that it's alive, still hungry, and trying to fix these things, because ultimately their expectation is as high as anybody's. Calais Campbell, Jesse Bates cannot stop saying, Caden Ellis, we expected to go on runs, and that's not happening. And I think that's disappointing. I think there's a lot of pride in that room. There's a lot of veterans in that room that are not going to lie down for any circumstance, because as you pointed out, it's always about the next contract, right? It's always about your standing and respect in the league, and you need to put your best out there or you'll get exposed, and everybody in the league will notice that. So whether you're pulling for the team, you're pulling for the logo on the side of the helmet, the name on the back of the jersey, you want to show well. I believe the Falcons will do whatever they can to show well. Whether that ends up in a victory, time will tell, but I don't question their effort.
Well, I'll leave you with this, Scott. The only thing I know for sure about the future of the Falcons is that I don't know anything. So we'll see what happens. He is the digital managing editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. Scott Baer joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Check out his personal Twitter page, at Scott Baer NFL. And Scott, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show. I know it's not fun times for any of us, but appreciate you coming on and having a good chat with me as always.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much. And I always like the rational discourse. Sometimes you don't get that very much, but I will always take that when I can get it. Thank you very much for the time, sir.
Yep. Thanks, Scott. John Shrecker, we'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.